Hi, everybody, and welcome to Quirky Parenting. This is Andrew, and today we're going to discuss how we do dinner time with our family. My wife is a vegetarian, while I still eat meat, and we're going to discuss how we get around this for dinner time. You might also notice a few weird bumps in the audio. That's our dog, Ralph, deciding now is the best time to play with his ball underneath our table while we record. So just picture an adorable dog playing while we're talking. Let's jump in.
After we came back from our 2-week holiday break, all of a sudden I'd forgotten how rushed the afternoons and the evenings could be.
Yeah.
You know, during the break, Mac and I are at home and Andrew was home with us a few days here and there, and we would just kind of leisurely do stuff throughout our day. And you know, I almost kind of forgot how hectic our evenings can be, because Mac is still young, so she goes to bed fairly early. So by the time we get home at 4:30, we're starting dinner. We're trying to eat dinner, you know, around 5:30 or so. If we're taking, you know, if we're giving her a bath, that's like 6 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have hardly any time and we have to get her in bed. Mm-hmm. And so I thought today we could just talk about how to survive dinner time with young kids. And I know we only have one right now, but I feel like sometimes McLean can be more like 5 kids.
Yeah, she knows how to dig a trench when she wants to.
So I think there's kind of 2 levels to surviving dinner time. The first is just keeping your sanity. Like, just making it through the other side without tearing your hair out. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple things that I have found and that I have read about that help. And the biggest one, and this is something that we do with Mac, which is not making food a fight. I feel like a lot, you know, there used to be this whole, like, clean plate club. You know, you're like, you wanted to eat all your food, and you had to eat this, that, and the other thing. And while obviously you want your kids to have a balanced meal and something healthy, it's important that you don't make it a fight.
Yeah.
Because if you make it a fight from the time they are young, that can set up some pretty hefty food issues as they get older. And I mean, you don't want that to happen, you know? So the way that we do it is that, because right now, Mac is going through a picky phase.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, shit, like really, really picky. But we, you know, we'll make dinner. We try to find things that we think she would somewhat like, or that there is a part of it that she would like. And we serve all of us the same meal. And so she has to try dinner, but we never really have to force her to try it.
Yeah.
For the most part, she just tries it. And I think that is because she knows that if she doesn't like it, there is an alternative.
Yeah.
You know, so I think right there, she's willing to try stuff because she knows that we won't make her eat it if she doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other important thing is that if she doesn't like it, she doesn't get to pick really what she wants to eat. You know, it's not like, okay, well, if you're not going to eat what we made, what do you want?
Yeah.
It's if you're not going to eat that, what we offer is a peanut butter sandwich.
Yep.
You know, you get a peanut butter sandwich, and then we usually give her like a piece of fruit or, you know, like a bowl of applesauce. And so she's still getting like a healthy-ish dinner.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing. It's not, we're not feeding her French fries or something else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like she gets to pick, like, you know, she wants, yeah, French fries or ice cream or something, you know. It's, you need to remember that kids go through picky phases, sometimes for a long time, and that, but the other thing is most kids, most healthy children will not starve themselves.
Yep, I was just going to say that.
Because I feel like it's a very, like across the board, parents have this fear of not feeding their kids enough.
Yeah.
Or enough healthy food, you know, not just maybe enough quantity-wise, but just enough, like, nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to remember that a kid, you know, maybe they are getting sick, and so they just don't feel that well. Because as adults, sometimes, you know, maybe we have a cold and we decide that we just don't really want that much to eat for dinner. You know, we have, like, a really small dinner or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's a day where you're just not feeling very hungry, and so you skip lunch and you have a bigger dinner. Or, you know, kids are the same way. And we need to remember that in that way, they're just human beings like us.
Yeah.
You know, our appetites fluctuate, their appetites fluctuate. Another way that we keep our sanity is that, first of all, we meal plan ahead. So we try every Sunday to sit down and just think about what we want to make for the week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's some weeks where we know it's going to be a crazy week, or we know, you know, last week when we went back to school, we were just like, let's just do easy dinners.
Yep.
Like stuff we already know how to make for the most part. And we will just plan easy as we can. And then some weeks we're a little more adventurous. Some weeks we look through cookbooks and, you know, on Pinterest, and we decide, you know, hey, I want to try this on this day, or, you know, this on that day, or that kind of thing.
We've had some really good success with that, actually.
Yeah.
And a couple of those adventurous meals have become staples.
Yeah. I think it's important to, you know, try new meals. And that's something that it's fun for your kids to see you trying something new, because they can see that, you know, maybe how you respond if you don't really like a meal.
Yeah.
Because there are definitely times where we'll try something and we'll kind of be like, this is mediocre. You know, like, we maybe won't make this again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we don't, you know, like, spit it out, or we don't make a big fuss about it. It's just, okay, let's finish this and not do it again.
Call it good.
So not only do we meal plan, we try, and this is something we typically will kind of forget to do this, and then afterwards be like, oh, we really should have done this, which is just prepping your meals on Sunday. Sunday's our shopping day.
You can prep whatever day you want. I mean, that's fine. Don't let us influence your day. Sundays, I mean, it is the best to do this on.
Sundays are just our kind of laid back day at home, where we're doing, you know, like laundry, and we're cleaning, and that's the day that we typically go grocery shopping and plan our meals. And so prepping, you can cut up pretty much anything ahead of time. You know, even stuff like potatoes.
Yep.
As long as you store them in water.
Yep. They keep absolutely fine.
They'll be fine.
It saves a lot of time on the rest of the days where you're running around doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so just if you can do any of that stuff ahead of time, it really makes it so much easier, because that cuts out a lot of time for making any meal, you know, no matter how easy it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't do that, and you have a child like we do, who just wants to be around you, try to include your toddler.
Yep.
And I know that I'm more used to it than Andrew is, because I worked in a toddler room. And so I'm used to the incredibly frustrating situation of trying to make a snack or a meal or a whatever, and having to, you know, move at a snail's pace because there's a toddler helping me, but I want them to be like an active part of it. And so we're still working on it, but sometimes toddlers just want to be included. They don't have to do anything that's necessarily helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But even just the other day, Andrew was cutting up some vegetables for a soup, and McLean really wanted to be a part of it. And so I came over and I just suggested, like, why don't you cut up the vegetables on the one side of the cutting board? Once they're cut up, you push them to the side that's right next to her, and then she just takes them and puts them in the bowl.
Yep.
And she did.
For the most part.
She ate some. But that's okay, because you were cutting up carrots, so I'm okay with her eating carrots. But, you know, she just wanted to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just finding something, and as they get older, they can even chop some things for you, or they could peel things for you if you're peeling. You know, you can just teach them how to safely peel vegetables. They can pour stuff in if you are baking. They can pour the milk in. They can pour the flour in.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And with those kinds of things too, we called it co-doing in the toddler room, which basically means that I put my hand around theirs as we're doing it. Mm-hmm. So like if Mac is holding the handle for a measuring cup, my hand is around hers. So I'm leading her and guiding her. So we, you know, get the full cup of flour in the bowl, and it's not, you know, Mac trying to do it and she gets a quarter of it full before she throws it in the bowl.
Yeah.
You know, like that way you can they still get the experience, but you also get it made right.
Yep. I do that with Mac as well, for just cutting up like quesadillas.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold on to her hand, holding on to the pizza cutter and cut it across. She likes that. And then also I had her stirring pancake batter the other morning, and yeah. she really enjoyed that. And it was pretty cute. She just kept saying mix, 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 mix the entire time.
Yeah, stirring is another really good one. If they can stir anything, you know, anything. And well, this isn't dinner. I mean, I guess it is for our dog. I mean, she likes to mix up our dog's food too, yep. for his dinner.
Yep.
You know, anything that she can mix, she really likes to do. And again, you have to remember that sometimes the jobs they're doing aren't actually helpful, but they're helpful in the way that your child feels included.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first level of just keeping your sanity to get through dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this other level, and this is, we've been trying to get to this. And again, we only have one kid right now, but which is just making dinner time fun. You know, because I think sometimes it just gets to this point where you're stressed. It's the end of the day. You know, everyone's been at work, at school. You're stressed. You know, you just want to eat and get the kids to bed. But it's also important to have that family time during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to try to make it fun and to try to make it a time where you actually connect with each other. And it's not just, okay, let's eat our food and go. So I feel like there's a couple things you can do to make it fun. And these are things that we try to do most of them every day.
Yeah.
And the first one is really easy. And that's just to put on some background music.
So not television.
Not the television. And sometimes, if I don't really know what we want to listen to, I'll bring McLean with me over to the computer, and I'll pull up, you know, some playlists, and I'll just have her pick one.
Yep.
Even just by the pictures, you know, it's just like, okay, which picture do you want?
And it hasn't been anything terrible yet.
Yeah, no. I do try to limit it. And sometimes the music goes along with some kind of a theme. You know, sometimes we'll pick a theme. And, you know, not like super thematic, but just like pasta. We're making, you know, spaghetti and meatballs, and then we find a station of music with Italian music.
Yep.
You know, something, it's just fun. It's just kind of a fun way to kind of tie things together. And then the other way that we try to make it fun, and it actually has been fun now that Mac is starting to talk a lot more,
mm-hmm.
is that we have a discussion every night. We go around the table, and first we ask, what was the worst part of your day? So then we can each take a time to vent about something, if something bad happened, or to just talk about, like, I mean, there's days where sometimes it's like, what was the worst thing that happened? Or like, what was the worst part of your day? The entire afternoon. You know, and sometimes it's just like, that's just how it is. But then after we talk about the worst part, and we will, like, I don't know, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but Andrew's kind of a complainer sometimes.
No.
So sometimes
anybody I have who to... knows me doesn't think I'm a complainer.
I have to cut him off and be like, okay, I'm done hearing about your worst part of the day. But we always end with what was the best part of your day. And we all have to come up with something, even if it's small. Because you know what, even, you know, when I'm working at school, even with the worst day, there's still something that made me smile. You know, maybe a kid told me a joke, or maybe there was brownies in the staff room. You know, there was something that brightened my day. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to find that brightness, even if we're having a bad day.
Yeah.
And again, now that Mac is old enough, she can kind of join in this conversation, which makes it kind of fun.
Yeah.
We do get notes home from her school. And so we're able to kind of fill in the blanks if we need to. You know, we'll ask her what the best part of her day is. And sometimes she'll just blah, 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 you know, and just babble.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I can lead the conversation a little bit and be like, well, I read that you did some painting today. You know, and then she'll talk about it. She'll get excited and she'll talk about it.
Yep.
So even if your toddler isn't super verbal, you could still include them in the conversation. It's important to give them that space for them to be a part of it and for them to talk.
Mm.
And so I feel like those are the ways that we keep our sanity and make it fun to have dinner with a toddler. And then to switch gears a little bit, I wanted to kind of talk about something that I get a lot of questions about from people, which is the fact that I'm a vegetarian and Andrew eats meat. We're raising Mac to eat both meat and tofu or soy or, you know, whatever meat substitute kind of.
Yeah.
That I eat, or beans, I guess, any kind of thing. But people are always really curious about what do we eat?
Yeah.
How do we deal with it?
It's not too hard, honestly.
No, it really isn't. I think people make it a lot more difficult than it needs to be. And I feel like we do a lot of what I call customizable meals, mm-hmm. which are things like one of the easiest dinners that we'll make, especially if it's just like a terrible day or something, is quesadillas.
Yep.
And so what we'll do is a lot of times Andrew will put chicken on his, and I might have some like fake meat that I'll put on mine, or maybe sometimes I'll put beans on mine, you know, and maybe we'll have veggies. And Mac is just a total like cheese quesadilla, like just plain cheese quesadilla. I mean,
we've tried beans, we've tried meat, and both of them she's not really on board with.
Yeah.
She likes the cheese.
Yeah. And so that's what we eat. So we're all eating the same meal. You know, we didn't actually make like three separate meals, mm-hmm. but we're able to customize them so that we're each eating what we want. Or sometimes we've made homemade pizza before where we've done half with pepperoni or sausage and half with cheese and vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, it's the thing is people overthink it. And I think it's you need to remember that for me with vegetarianism, it's very much a personal choice. If you want to eat meat, that's great. If you don't want to, that's great. Like, you have to make a choice for you, which is why with Mac, we are letting her choose.
Yep.
You know, we give her the options. There are days where we call them protein nights, which just means that Andrew makes whatever kind of meat he has. And I typically have like fried tofu. Yep. And we'll give her some of both. Sometimes she'll eat the tofu. Sometimes she eats the meat. Sometimes she eats both. Sometimes she doesn't eat any of it.
Yep.
We let her decide what she likes and what she wants to eat. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. People are always real. I get a lot of questions about how we eat.
Yeah, because everyone just assumes that I never eat any meat, but I do. I mean, like, I don't. Meat is never a major part of our diet anymore. Mm-hmm. It's always more like a side or like an added flair for whatever we're actually eating, and that's fine. It's good.
Yeah. Sometimes I do kind of cringe because I think about before I became a vegetarian, we very much ate the standard American diet where. You know, I was just out of college. We were, like, super poor. So we would buy Hamburger Helper with, like, a you know, put in the pound of meat.
Yep.
And we would eat the entire thing
for
dinner. Like, no leftovers. The two of us would just eat the whole thing. And, you know,
if that works for you, go for it. But it's not the, like, the amount of sodium in there.
It was just something great. Looking back, it was like, wow. Yeah. Can you believe that we used to do that?
Yeah.
Whereas now, even when we make a pound of, like, the fake meat, I don't think we ever eat the whole thing.
No, we don't.
So it's just funny to think about, like,
And actually, that is one other thing I'll mention, too. We don't normally talk about, like, vegetarianism on the site at all.
But, yeah, no.
A lot of people always wonder, because, yeah, for stuff like chili or spaghetti or something, we do just use fake meat. And that fake meat, honestly, you can't really tell the difference between that and beef. I mean, it is a little less flavorful, but honestly, it's not that big of a deal.
For the most part, with stuff where you are using like ground beef, you're not using the beef as the flavoring. Do you know what I mean? You know, because even if you're doing like Sloppy Joe's or something, you're adding in other stuff to flavor the beef.
Yeah.
So with a lot of dishes like that, I find using the soy crumbles and you still use the same flavoring. So, you know, it's just something a little bit different that's carrying the flavor to your mouth.
Yep.
So, you know, I feel like it's really easy. I feel like it's really easy.
Yeah. It's about the same cost, if not cheaper in some cases.
Yeah.
Depends what kind you get.
Yeah.
And honestly, it tastes to me the same.
Yeah.
So I recommend it.
Yeah. Well, if you have any questions about, you know, if you thought of a question that I couldn't about us being a meat eater and a vegetarian, raising eats whatever she wants, kind of a girl sometimes, let me know because I would love to answer any questions because it is doable. It's doable. You don't have to have your whole household be vegetarian or meat eaters.
Yep.
It's doable to have both.
Yep, so we'll put a link for our questionnaire in the description, and please send us something. We'd love to answer any questions you got.
Thanks.
Bye now.